Nehemiah 3, 1 through 32. Devotional focus verse. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. Nehemiah 3, 4. Meremoth, Meshullam, and Zadok are probably nothing more than names to most of us. However, they had a role that is noted in biblical history. They are among the 38 individuals listed in this chapter who helped rebuild sections of the walls around Jerusalem. This long record of names teaches us an important lesson, that everyone can have a part in building the wall. Nehemiah had great faith in God, but the task of repairing the broken-down walls of Jerusalem would have been insurmountable if not for those who helped him. One of the powerful messages of the book of Nehemiah is how much can be achieved when individuals are willing to submit themselves to the will of God. Nehemiah and his followers accomplished what seemed to be impossible because they were doing what God called them to do. Another lengthy list of names can be found at the back of the Apostolic Faith History Book. Perhaps the names Paul, Pat Kutak, Peter Vandepuy, or Theophilus Scott are not familiar to you either, but they built for God as well. Nearly 2,500 years after Meremoth, Meshullam, and Zadok cleared rubble, spread mortar, and carried stones near the walls of Jerusalem. Paul Patkudak was a young, spiritually hungry Eskimo man who traveled in 1913 from northern Alaska to the city of Seattle, Washington. He wanted to find a church to attend, and a man on a street corner pointed him to the Apostolic Faith. As he sat in that first service, God moved in his heart. He testified, "I wanted the preacher to stop preaching so I could pray and call on God to have mercy and take the sin out of my heart." At the close of the service, he went forward to the altar and was wonderfully saved. Through the decades that followed until the end of his life, Brother Paul zealously shared the gospel with his family and acquaintances in northern Alaska. He was building the wall, doing his part to advance the kingdom of God. Across the world in Gold Coast, now Ghana, Peter Vandepuy received gospel tracts from this church in the 1940s. He sought and received his spiritual experiences and began establishing small churches in his area. In 1948, he attended our camp meeting in Portland, Oregon, and presented the needs of the African people, trusting and believing that God would send someone to help believers in his country. His plea inspired George Hughes, a minister at the Portland headquarters, to consecrate to go to Africa. Just a few months later, Brother George left for Ghana, and the work on that continent began to expand. Peter Vandepuy and George Hughes were builders on the wall. In 1928, Theophilus Scott and his wife constructed a little thatch-roofed church with walls of sticks and mud on the island of St. Vincent in the Caribbean. People came from around the neighborhood and began responding to the gospel message. The Scots' efforts met with opposition, but when they showed gospel literature from the Apostolic Faith to prove their affiliation with this organization, they were granted permission to continue public ministry. Today we have 12 churches on that island, in part because Theophilus Scott and his wife were willing to be builders on the wall. God is still looking for builders. The work is not yet done. We cannot personally build everywhere we see a broken portion of the wall, but sometimes our awareness of a need is God calling us to action. What walls do you see that need attention? Are you available and willing? Wherever God calls you to serve, do so with all your might. Add your efforts to those of Meremoth, Meshullam, Zadok, Paul Patkutuk, Peter Vandepuy, George Hughes, the Scots, and many, many more. Do your part in wall building for the kingdom of God. Background information. Nehemiah carefully organized a plan of action for rebuilding the wall circumferencing Jerusalem, and chapter 3 provides a detailed list of those who participated and the locations where they worked on the wall. Based on maps showing the probable location of the wall and gates in Nehemiah's day, it appears that verses 1 through 5 detail the north wall assignments, verses 6 through 12 the west wall, verses 13 and 14 the south wall, and verses 15 through 32 the east wall. Because many roads converged on Jerusalem, the city wall had many gates, and each area of reconstruction was designated by referring to the named gates in that portion. Gates were the entry and exit points of the city, and the places where enemy attacks would most likely occur, so work began at each gate and went out from there. The walls on each side of the gates were taller and thicker than the rest of the wall. This allowed soldiers to stand on each side of these critical entry-exit points as guards. The gates, massive wooden doors that were often reinforced with brass or iron, were more than passageways. During times of peace, gateways served as places for personal business and civic affairs. The city council met there, and shopkeepers set up their goods near them. Thus, rebuilding the wall and gates of the city was both a military and commercial necessity. 10 gates are mentioned in this chapter. Today there are 8 gates in the walls surrounding the old city of Jerusalem. Most of them date from about AD 1537, when Suleiman the Magnificent rebuilt the walls. Eliashib, the high priest, and his brethren the priests are the first builders named in the list of buildings given in chapter 3. These religious leaders led by example, not seeking exemption from the physical labor required to build the wall. Their assignment was the area around the sheep gate. This was the gate where animals were brought into the city for sacrifice at the temple, so it was significant that they were assigned this portion. The fish gate, see verse 3, was the place of entry for fish being transported into the city from the sea coast. Merchants from Tyre, the Sea of Galilee, and other seaports used this gate. Seemingly, nearly all of the people of Jerusalem engaged in the rebuilding project. The nobles, wealthy leaders of the Tekoites, see verse 5, were the only named inhabitants of Jerusalem who did not participate. Rephaiah, the son of Hur, is referred to in verse 9 as the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, indicating that the city was divided into 2 administrative districts. According to verse 12, Shallum was in charge of the other half. Verse 12 also refers to Shallum's daughters, so even women took part in the rebuilding project. Verse 28 records that some of the laborers were assigned locations near their own houses. This was practical for several reasons. The workers would be motivated to build quickly and carefully. Working near their own homes would ensure that no time was wasted on traveling to a distant portion of the wall. In addition, the builders would be able to quickly defend their own homes and families in the event of an attack. Conclusion. As in Nehemiah's day, work on the gospel wall of our day must be a team effort. Are you zealously and faithfully doing your part?